thoughts about the global economy. Later this hour, we're going to talk about inventing jobs. That's a skill that everyone's going to need to survive in the economy that's changing. We're going to ask you and get some stories from you on jobs you would love to invent from Atlanta. Here's a brilliant idea. I would like to be the shopper who travels the world looking for unique items for the Epcot gift shops. Another good one from Oregon. I'd love to talk to people in small groups about opening their minds to recycling and alternative fuels and transportation and make a substantial amount of money doing it. That could be a job on the horizon there. More of your dream jobs later this hour, plus some real stories of folks who have invented their own professions. But first, to Washington now and the Immigration Reform Initiative, a real live bipartisan initiative that is starting to take shape on Capitol Hill. Some of the provisions already look close to what they're expected to be if an immigration bill actually passes. And today, while acknowledging the perils of trying to predict what lawmakers in Washington, D.C. will actually do, we're going to take a look at the provisions for enlarging and modifying guest worker programs under the legislation now being considered. Joining us is Elizabeth Dwoskin, staff writer who covers immigration issues for Bloomberg Businessweek. Elizabeth, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us is Mary Bauer, a senior fellow at the Southern Poverty Law Center who monitors these sorts of worker guest programs. Mary, thanks for being with us.
Delighted to be here.
Elizabeth, what is taking shape on Capitol Hill? Is it a model for something that we've already seen? Is it something fundamentally new? And who would it apply to?
Well, this agreement clears the last major hurdle for an immigration bill. There are some issues which will still need to be hashed out, like the border and E-Verify. But the guest worker program was one of the main issues that derailed immigration reform back in 2007. The Chamber of Commerce and the unions, particularly the AFL, which pulled out of the agreement, did not see eye to eye about guest workers. They were fighting over the number of visas, and they were fighting over whether the workers would be able to get citizenship, whether they'd be able to stay in the U.S. after their terms are over, whether they would be able to be tied to their employers or leave employers. Those were issues that no one could come to an agreement on. Now it's a completely different environment. They have come to an agreement, and we might see a bill anytime within the next week or two.
So would this represent a sigh of relief to a worker in an industry that is typically dominated by foreign workers who apply for worker visas and guest worker papers?
A sigh of relief for an American worker?
And it's a sigh of relief for a worker who's already been using guest worker programs, or someone who is in a segment of the economy that relies on foreign workers?
Not sure whether it'll be a sigh of relief for anybody. What I tried to do in my piece yesterday was look at a typical business owner, a hotel owner in Las Vegas, and what this would mean 3 years down the road or 2 years down the road for a hotel owner and for his or her workers. And for a business owner, is it a sigh of relief? Well, it may not be, because you're going to have to go through the government now. You're more likely to have to go through the government now as opposed to private staffing agencies. If I owned a hotel, let's say, in Las Vegas, and I wanted to get workers right now, I'd probably just go through a staffing agency. And this is a big word-of-mouth business, so they'd either pool from the undocumented immigrant population living in the U.S., or through word of mouth, people would start coming from places like Mexico and the Philippines. Now, with this new deal, if it goes through, I'll probably have to appeal to the government. And that's because the deal makes it much more palatable and desirable for immigrants to go through the legal channels, or the idea is that it'll be more desirable for immigrants to go through the legal channels than through the illegal ones, mainly because they'll have a chance at citizenship. It's a better deal. So they'll probably go through the guest worker programs, which means that me as an employer will also have to go through the guest worker programs.
So, Mary Bauer, when you hear this notion of pooling agencies and recruiting agencies that do the paperwork and deal with the sort of federal interaction on a guest worker program, what concerns you the most?
Well, of course, the devil's going to be in the details. But what we have seen in the guest worker programs that we already have in the United States, and they do exist, is that there is widespread fraud in recruitment, and that workers are subjected to huge levels of debt because of their vulnerability and because of the structure of the programs. Now, the outlines of the programs that we've seen from the AFL and the Chamber address some of these issues, but we just don't know what they're going to look like in any detail until we see the bill.
And would you say that the bill would at least, at the very least, scale up the current guest worker programs, Mary?
Well, you know, the AFL has said that they don't consider this a guest worker program. They consider this a temporary worker program. But we just really have to see the details to be able to pass judgment on how vulnerable workers are going to be under this program. And we really look to the models that we already have in existence and say, you know, these cannot be the model for the future flow moving forward.
Talking about a rational, clear, legal program for low-wage, low-skill non-citizens to come to America and work. That may be one result of the immigration reform bill now taking shape in Washington, D.C. We're back now with Elizabeth Dwoskin, staff writer who covers immigration for Bloomberg Businessweek, and Murray Bauer, a senior fellow at the Southern Poverty Law Center. Elizabeth, why do we make the distinction between low-wage, low-skill worker, guest worker programs and different professions? Just remind us of why we make that distinction here.
That's a great question. Why has to do with that's the way Congress laid it out. There are special H-1B programs for high-skilled workers who are recruited in different ways than low-skilled workers. And then we have seasonal workers and agricultural workers who are in their own separate category. I don't exactly know the origin of it, but it seems like a messy system and the lines don't seem to be entirely clear.
I loved your story about the hotel employer that you told us before the break. Is it the case that in general employers are disinclined to want to get involved with the federal government because of red tape or paperwork or oversight or any number of reasons?
All that, and the biggest reason is that it's just as easy not to. Mary spoke about how unions are concerned about what the vulnerability of workers will be in the future. But we also have to look at why employers aren't using this program on a wide scale. There's only 66,000 visas right now. Why aren't they using it? Well, for one, if I'm going to use the current guest worker program, I have to go through a lot of hurdles. I have to prove that I put ads in newspapers saying advertising for my job, that no American came forward, that I'm going to pay a prevailing wage. These are all very reasonable things. But right now, it's pretty easy to just go to a staffing agency and just get a worker without having to do this. So if they're going to make a program that works, they need to find the right incentives, the right carrots and sticks, so that employers will want to use it. Because otherwise, there's going to be people who inevitably come that they can get around the program. And 5 years down the road, we're not going to have had the immigration reform that we're talking about. It's going to be more of the same.
Elizabeth Dwoskin is a staff writer who covers immigration for Bloomberg Businessweek. Mary Bauer, let's go out on this note. She's a senior fellow at the Southern Poverty Law Center. What would you correct about the current guest worker program to prevent the abuses that most worry you?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, there's the level of debt that people bring to get the jobs. Second, they're tied to one employer and can't walk away if conditions are abusive. And third, they're dependent upon the employer for the right to be in the country, the right to return to the country. The employer just has a disproportionate amount of power over every aspect of a worker's life. And that leaves workers incredibly vulnerable. That just cannot be our system moving forward.
So there has to be some oversight and some appeal, some possible due process for workers under this new system as we see the details as this immigration bill moves through Congress. Mary Bauer and Elizabeth Dwoskin, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Mary Bauer is a senior fellow at the Southern Poverty Law Center. Elizabeth Dwoskin, a staff writer who covers information for Bloomberg, or immigration, excuse me, for Bloomberg Businessweek. Our next guest, Klein Church, knows a thing or two about all this. He's the owner of Klein Church Nursery in Fleetwood, North Carolina. His business employs temporary, low-skilled foegn workers through the existing federal guest worker program. Klein Church, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hello, John.
And the milestone for you today is that you're a grandpa for the first time in your life, right?
That's correct. That's correct. We are happy.
Well, congratulations. Well, long before your kids were of childbearing age, I suspect, you got involved in the guest worker program that is alive and well in the United States, and you have a lot of experience with it. Can you explain how it is you attract foreign workers and do the paperwork to make them completely legal?
Yes, John, we have been using the H-2A guest worker program now for almost 18 years. As you know, we're in the Christmas tree business and the nursery business here in the mountains of North Carolina. We're in a very rural area, and local labor has just not been available. It wasn't available then, and it's not available now due to the fact that we're a small community. Our county here is only about 25,000 people. We are a retirement community here in the mountains. So all of the jobs that's available for American Help is in the service field, and that's where generally a lot of our young people go. So the H-2A program has been very good to me for all these years. We use a provider, which is the North Carolina Growers Association, that basically does all the paperwork for us, and they make the transfer of the workers and all from Mexico, in my case, to here in North Carolina.
Do you think this system is something that the federal government should scale up, should use as a model as it considers broader immigration reform?
This program's not perfect. It's pretty good for the farmer and for the worker, but there's some things that needs to be worked on. Being a farmer, I feel that it's a little expensive, a lot of paperwork involved, but yet it's great for the worker. I've got guys that was with me before that I got into the guest worker program and are still with me. So that tells you that it's a program that the workers like, and I don't have any turnover hardly whatsoever with the same workers coming back.
Well, Klein, what do you make of some of the charges and concerns that workers are vulnerable in these kinds of guest worker programs and that there could be exploitation and that workers are sort of forced into a program or a situation that could, you know, be harmful to them?
I have lived under the philosophy that I want to treat people just like that I want to be treated. And ever since that I've been working migrants now for well over 20 years, that's the philosophy I've lived by, is how would I want to be treated if I was in Mexico working for them? And that's the philosophy I live under. Unfortunately, that's not the mindset of all people. And unfortunately, there's some farmers that may mistreat others. They'd probably mistreat Americans, too. But I really think it's a small portion. And we all know how that a lot of times the bad will get so much attention. And I think in the guest worker program, that's what's basically happened.
All right, Klein Church, well, thanks so much for talking with us.
You're very welcome, John.
Klein Church, new grandpa. He's also the owner of the Klein Church Nursery in Fleetwood, North Carolina, with a long experience using the federal guest worker program. Thanks so much. And if you have a job experience, a job that was invented for you, whether through federal paperwork or some sort of entrepreneurship, call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Tell us what job you would create if you could invent your own job. This is The Takeaway. Stay with us.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.